For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We consider that 21st verse. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, among all the children of God who are described in this chapter as those who fear God and eschew evil, Job is unique. Now, Job is not unique as such with regard to the experiences of his life as such. There were and have been many children of God who have received as much, if not more, riches than Job ever had, like Abraham and Solomon. There have been children of God like Jacob who had even more children. And certainly there have been children of God who have been given many other such blessings as Job enjoyed. And yet, Job is unique among all the children of God in that only Job, of all the children of God, ever lost so much so quickly. That is the unique experience of Job. And from a very real sense then, that makes the confession of Job unique. When Job said, at that time, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away, he was referring to that specific incident recorded in this first chapter, which is something no other child of God has or will ever experience. And that is precisely why that book is given to us in the Holy Scripture. But we must not imagine that that confession is unique among the children of God, not as a confession, not in and of itself. Job is intended to represent all who fear God and eschew evil, that is, all the children of God. And it is an example of the confession that every child of God makes, whether in prosperity or in times of adversity. That's what this entire incident is about, in fact. To demonstrate that fact for all the world to see and for all the children of God to know that every child of God is given by God to make such a confession. That's what this whole history was about. Satan, who hates God and his people, supposed that the children of God would curse God if they lost so much, that their thanksgiving of God was dependent upon the gifts and the blessings that they received from God as such. And God knew better. God knew the real reason behind the thanksgiving of his children and knew that in times of prosperity or of times in great loss, how they would respond. This is simply an example of what we're taught in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, that God's people are always thankful in prosperity and patient in adversity. And this is, make no mistake, as we're going to show, a confession of thanksgiving. This thanksgiving, both of Job and the children of God, is unique among men. It's not unique among us, but it is unique among men. The children of men may, even today, give thanks to God, but it's not true thanksgiving. Either will be only a certain self-congratulations about the gifts they have received. Really, they confess, I have given, I have done, and therefore is no thanksgiving at all. And that shows especially when it is taken away. They may confess God gave, but not God takes away. Then it's the government. Then it's other men. Then it's the economy. And furthermore, whether in giving or in taking, they cannot say, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Consider with me this morning the unique thanksgiving of God's children. The unique thanksgiving of God's children. We notice only two things this morning. First, that it is a confession of God's sovereignty. A confession of God's sovereignty. And secondly, it is a blessing of God's name. Those are the two main things done by Job as a child of God, and those are the two main things that belong to our thanksgiving as children of God. First of all, the thanksgiving, the unique thanksgiving of a child of God includes, even begins with, a confession of God's sovereignty. More specifically, a confession that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. First of all, it is a confession that it is the Lord who gives. And the idea is that it is the Lord alone who gives. It was the Lord who had given to Job personally. And the Lord had given to Job personally far more than the 7,000 sheep and the 3,000 camels and the 1,000 oxen and the 500 she-asses. The Lord had given to Job also far more than his 7 sons and his 3 daughters. Job confesses clearly that God also gave him his life. Naked came I into the world, and Job understands that his coming into the world itself is a gift of God, something he will clearly recognize also later when he ponders his life and his birth. God clearly had given to Job so that he was the greatest man of the East in possessions and in clothing and in respect and in property. And certainly it was the Lord who had given him his wife and his large family. It was the Lord who had given him his many friends and his good name in his community. But the Lord had also given to Job much more. God had given to Job himself. God had revealed himself to Job, as he revealed himself to none other as the Lord. He had made Job his friend. And in this process that we read in the book of Job, in a very unique way. But take note that Job was a believer. That means God had given himself to Job. And God did so as the Lord who made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. The God who upholds and governs the same by his eternal providence. And that is actually why Job can confess, it is the Lord who gave. I have these things. I use these things. I may live not because of my hard work, not because of my intelligence, not because of my education, not because of my shrewd business practices, but because the Lord gave. The Lord who loved Job and given himself to Job to pay for his sins. The very Lord whom Job worshipped. The Lord to whom he rose up early and made sacrifices on behalf of his children, lest they perhaps had cursed God and sinned in any way. The Lord whom he would go on to confess later on in the book, I know my Redeemer liveth. God gives to us. God has given to you your life and your length of days. God has given to you your birth. God has given to you every heartbeat and every breath you take. God has given to you every provision that you need to continue to live in this earth. God has given to you all of your substance. And God has given to you not only bare subsistence, the bare necessities, but far more than you need. Simply look around your house when you sit down this afternoon in your home. Look at the clothes on your back, but also the closets full. You're living not in a tent, but in a house. Sometimes very large houses. Look at the food. Look at the plates laden with mashed potatoes, and gravy, and turkey, and pies, vegetables and fruits of all sorts. Look at your family. Look at your friends eating with you. They too, not only are simply born like you, to whom God gives many earthly gifts, but they're one in the Lord with you because He has given Himself to them also. To you and your family, God has come down from heaven as our Redeemer because we are sinful, because He loved us. He suffered for us. He died in our flesh so that we might be given the forgiveness of sins. He lives within us so that we have the joy of salvation, peace with Him, the hope of eternal life, and all the riches of heavenly life, far surpassing whatever He gives us now. God gave to this church. God has given you a nice building to worship in. God has given you enough members to support the ministry of the Holy Gospel financially. He has given you a minister to preach the word. He has given you elders to rule over you, deacons to help the poor. God has given you His word. He has preserved that word throughout time and history so that you may have it in your hands, so that you may read it, so that you may study it, so that you may have it preached unto you from Sabbath to Sabbath. He Himself teaches you that word off this pulpit and in the catechism room. God gives you your good Christian schools and the children to attend them. Thanksgiving begins with the confession. The Lord gave and the Lord gives. But make no mistake, Thanksgiving, if it's going to be a true confession of God's sovereignty, must also include, and the Lord takes away. The Lord took away from Job in one day those 7,000 sheep, those 2,000 camels, those 1,000 oxen, those 500 she-asses. Took from him at the same time hundreds of servants. Took away his 7 sons and his daughters. And God would take away more. Not long after this, God takes away his health. He has given ulcers from head to toe that itch so he must scratch them, that ooze pus so that his clothes sticks to those sores and begin to stink. He loses friends because he stinks so bad, because others are silent, and yet others simply blame him for the situation. He even loses the friendship of his wife who should have comforted him, becomes the mouthpiece of Satan himself and advises her husband, curse God and die. That is, do exactly what Satan thought a child of God would do in such circumstances. And yet Job emphatically confesses, as a part of his confession of God's sovereignty, which is a confession of all thanksgiving, the Lord has taken away. Notice that. Not the Sabaeans, not the Chaldeans, not a great thunderbolt from the skies, not a mighty wind, not even Satan, all things which were certainly true. but confesses that even as the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. That's the only thing there is, really, for a child of God to say. The Lord is sovereign, it is the Lord who gives, and it is the Lord who takes away. God also takes from us. He takes from us as individuals. He takes away property. He takes away riches. He takes away food. He does so by fire and tornado. He does so by pestilence and by floods. He does so by thieves and by cheats. He does so by taxes and by recession. He does so by stupidity and by greed. He takes away good health by disease and by age. He takes away family and friends by unbelief, by conflict, by death. But make no mistake, it is always God who takes away. And also keep in mind, there will be a day for each and every one of us when God will take away everything he has given you. The day of your death, even as naked you were born, naked you will die. God takes away from us as a church. He takes church buildings by schism and by fire, maybe even by the government someday, so that along with losing a place of worship, one may lose access to the Holy Scriptures, may lose office bearers by persecution. He takes away members, takes away elders, takes away deacons by unfaithfulness, by old age, by death. And what shall we say? What shall we say then? Shall we say the Lord gave and fire and pestilence took away? Shall we say the Lord gave and the government took away? Politicians, greedy bankers, thieves, the economy. The Lord gave, but cancer takes away. The Lord gave, but the heart attack took away. No, the Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. If not, then we are no different than unbelievers. Even unbelievers who won't even acknowledge that the Lord gave. Now, there are Christians like that too. If there's any good that comes, then they're quick, perhaps, to give God credit, along with themselves, a good handshake and a slap on the back for their own cooperation with God in these matters. But if it's evil, then that's not God. Then Satan's to blame. Temptation's to blame. If there is a terrible storm, then it's global warming that takes away. If there's a heart attack, it was bad cholesterol that took away. No, there's only one thing for a child of God that he can say, that is thanksgiving, that God will receive as the truth, and that is he gives and he takes away. To say anything less than that, to say anything other than that, is to deny God is sovereign. We must confess, the Lord gave me my house. The Lord gave me my car and my food, and the same Lord takes them away. The Lord gave me my family and my friends, and it is the Lord who takes them away. The Lord gave me my health and my life, and it is the Lord who takes it away. That's simply what a child of God confesses. But that's not all a child of God confesses. When he gives thanks, he adds, he must add, and blessed be the name of the Lord. It is especially that part that shows that what Job said and what he did, even in his grief, was a form of thanksgiving. That's simply what it is to bless God. To bless God is a special form of thanksgiving. It means to praise God. It means to recognize God as praiseworthy. It is to worship and exalt His name. Blessing and thanksgiving go together like hand and glove, as we noticed even in our call to worship in Psalm 100, verse 4. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Those aren't two different acts. They are one and the same. And as we're going to see what that word blessing especially emphasizes, is that what we are giving God in our thanksgiving is simply returning the blessing that He first gave us. Blessing the name of God is to thank God as the blessed God and as the Lord, even as we recognized in our first point. It is to recognize God as the God of providence, as we read in the Heidelberg Catechism. It is to bless God as the God who has an almighty and everywhere present power, whereby, as it were by His hand, He upholds and governs heaven and earth and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. It is to bless God as the God of our salvation, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was no coincidence that when Jesus came down the mountain on Palm Sunday, everyone was crying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of God." It's to thank God as good. Good in Himself, first of all. It is to thank God for being good regardless of whether He gives or takes away, regardless of what He does in this creation. God is good in Himself. God is good as the perfect one. God is good as the eternal one. God is good as the one who lives a blessed life of persons, is good to Himself in the persons. The Father is good to the Son, and the Son is good to the Father. And there is no evil thought in the being of God, no evil deed in Him. Blessed be the name of that God. It is to bless God as the God who was good to Job, both in giving and in taking away. Blessed be the name of God in giving, and blessed be the name of God in taking away. Now, certainly we have no problem recognizing, I hope, that God is blessed in giving. The problem is how God is blessed in taking away. How is God blessed in taking away? Now, you understand that if it is true that God is sovereign, if it is true that we confess that God is the God who gives and takes away, then we really may not even ask that question. It's really no different than the question that Job kept asking, which is why? And that is the one thing God told him he should not ask. God was going to teach him not to ask that question, but simply to believe what he had confessed, which is that God is good and to be blessed not only in giving, but also in taking away. We really should not even ask that question why or how God is blessed when He takes away, because it is to make myself and yourself sovereign over God, and we mayn't do that. Nevertheless, the Scriptures do answer the question how God is blessed, even when He takes away, and even when He takes everything away. Chief among them all is this, that no matter what God gives, and no matter what God takes away from us, even everything that we own and are given, there is one thing that He never takes away from His children, and that is Himself. God never takes that away from us. But there's more, and if you look toward the end of the book of Job today or sometime in the future, you will see these things. God was blessed and good in that he also strengthened the faith of Job and the understanding of Job in himself, that is God. What Job said he understood not, God made him to understand. Number two, God restored his brothers and sisters and former friends so that he could dine with them and they could comfort him. And he restored all that he had taken away two times, and even his friends came to bring him many gifts. And he gave back to Job the same number of children that he took away and gave him faith to believe that his children too, though worms would destroy their bodies, yet in their flesh they would see their Redeemer. Us also. God is blessed, and his name is blessed in both giving and in taking away. In fact, this is one reason, perhaps the chief reason, God gave and took away from Job so that we might learn these things. This was done not really for Job's sake, but for ours. For unknown to Job, God would preserve this history. God would record it on the pages of Holy Scripture. Why? For Job's sake? No, for our sake. So that every single child of God could read and know and understand and learn to give such thanks to God. Blessed be his name in giving and in taking away. And understand, beloved people of God, this is a necessary part of thanksgiving. It is essential to thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not simply to confess God gives, but thanksgiving is also to confess God then also is the one who takes. That is, God is sovereign, and I worship him as sovereign, and I thank him as that sovereign. But neither is it thanksgiving to really stop there. Thanksgiving is to say the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. That's simply what a child of God does. The Apostle Paul says so. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is unique to a child of God. It's what God gives only to us. It's what separates us from all others and unbelief. It is the will of God. God gives himself to us in Jesus Christ so that his will is our will, and we may make such a confession. Now that doesn't mean, make no mistake, that if the Lord takes something away, he says to us, now you need to thank me for taking that away as such. You won't find that in Scripture. You will find in everything give thanks, in everything give thanks. But the idea of that is to do exactly what Job did. Confess he is sovereign in giving and taking away, and blessed in both giving and taking away. This is essentially the truth of our confessions. The Belgic Confession, Article 13. We will with greatest humility and reverence of God adore the righteous judgments of God which are hid from us, contenting ourselves that we are disciples of Christ to learn only those things which he has revealed in his word. Or the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 28. What advantage is it to know that God has created and by his providence still upholds all things, that we may be patient in adversity and thankful in prosperity, that in all things which befall us we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father. The alternative is what Job's wife proposed, and that Satan imagines we will do when God takes away, which is to curse God and die. Now that's horrible. It even sounds horrible to say, and so we often don't. To say such a thing is to damn the good God, to damn God to the fires of hell reserved for for Satan. It is to say God is not good, but God is evil, and thus is worthy of the fiercest fires of hell. Now, we may say that Job feared his own children could perhaps curse God. But often, even then, we would not say that. The way we express it is to simply be silent, to not say anything. Perhaps to acknowledge that God is good in giving and God is the one who takes away, but we won't add anything after that. We're angry. We're bitter. We don't think what God did was good, or that God is good in taking away. If that is you, and search your hearts whether that is you. Far too often, we are suffering in this life with depression and anger and bitterness. There is no joy in our soul. There is no spring in our step. Because essentially, although we may be recognizing God gave and God took away, we have nothing to say after that. And it is essentially to say, God be damned. If that is you, then recognize that and confess it. Tell God what he taught Job. Tell God, I'm sorry. I confess my sin and my foolishness. That although I confess that thou art sovereign, the God who gives and the God who takes away, that because you took certain things from me, you took a child, you took my dignity, you took my possessions, you took this away from me, that I'm angry and I'm bitter. I thought you were evil and bad. Know that when you do, you will know also his blessedness for giving you for such foolishness. You will know that God forgives that sin, just as Job learned that too, that God has forgiven that sin of cursing him and wanting to die, because that goes along with it. That God forgives that sin because he has given himself to you. And that's the only thing that matters. He has given himself to you in Jesus Christ. He has made you his child. He has paid for your sins in Jesus Christ. Say you're sorry and confess that sin and recognize that when you do, it is exactly because he gave and he never takes that away. Know also his blessedness in giving you far more than he will ever take away. At your death, you will make this confession. Remember it, if you can, on your bed of death. The Lord is taking away. The Lord will soon take everything away from me, including my earthly physical life. Will take away everything that he gave me. But he gives to me at that very same moment the eternal riches of the kingdom of heaven. Until that time, recognize also that he may take away, yet, some property, may take away some riches, may take away some health, may take away a child or a son or a parent, may take away a friend or a spouse, but he gives you to see them eternally. And if by his sovereign rule, not someone, because they are ungodly and wicked, he gives you an innumerable throng of friends and brothers and sisters to live with eternally in the kingdom of heaven. So this day, regardless of your situation, regardless of what God has given you, and even regardless of what God has taken away, And when you celebrate with your family and your friends, give thanks to God in exactly this way. Pray to Him. Say to Him what Job said. Say to Him what every child of God must and will say to God. The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we give that thanksgiving unto Thee in this day. And we are thankful that Thou dost work such things, which in the minds of all else is utter foolishness, but which to us is evident token of Thy grace and the power of Thy salvation, to say that Thou art blessed in giving, and Thou art blessed in taking away, that Thou art blessed in Thyself, and Thou art blessed in blessing us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.